This is the People's Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Here's Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda.
Final hour of the People's Show. Thanks for listening to us. Whether it's on the podcast you're listening to right now or listening live, streaming, or live on your radio. Always appreciate it. Bick Nizar, Randy Janda, and Jamie Dodd. We just dropped our trivia question to win a pair of tickets to the Canucks and Panthers on Friday, January 21st. Todd Bertuzzi and Alex Auld were traded to Florida in the Roberto Luongo deal in 2006. One more player was traded out of Vancouver in addition to Aldi and Bert. Who was it? Randy?
The correct answer, former first-round pick, Brian Allen was the third piece in that deal. And the winner today on the trivia and winner of a pair of tickets to the Canucks versus Panthers on Friday, January 21st, Nick. Congratulations, Nick. You're the first winner this week, but we're going to be giving away tickets all week long.
Absolutely. Again, you'll have more chances throughout the course of the week to win tickets to the January 21st game between the Panthers and your Canucks at the Rogers Arena. And we're getting set for Panthers and Canucks tomorrow in Florida. So we're not sending you to that one.
No, we can't do that.
As much as I would love that, we just aren't.
Yeah, we can't even do that in the best of times, let alone right now. Let's be honest.
Randy and I can't afford to do that.
Yeah, man, come on. The way my savings account works, it just doesn't work that way.
Your savings account works. Oh, man. All right. Want to get to a couple other things, too, but I'm excited to talk to Keegan Mitchell coming up in about 10 minutes. Actually, let's should we play Boudreaux now or should we play Boudreaux afterwards?
Let's go in now.
All right. Here's Bruce Boudreaux. He met with media today, earlier today. Here's what he had to say. Getting set for a game against Florida tomorrow.
Good afternoon, Bruce. Belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
You don't look a day over 67. Good for you.
To start.
What can you tell us about Besser, Pettersson, and Dickinson, who were supposed to join you in Florida? Were they on the ice this morning, and are they good to go tomorrow?
Yeah, they're on the ice, and, other than the 6 days being off, in Bess's case, probably a little longer, that they're scheduled to play tomorrow. I anticipate them playing tomorrow, so hopefully they'll be in.
A coach likes to have a lot of his tools in his toolbox, and certainly with these three guys, it looks like you could have some familiar symmetry in your lines tomorrow, Bruce. Obviously, how vital is that? And do you have to manage minutes tomorrow with the guys being off for varying lengths of time here?
Well, I think it'll all depend on how the game is. You're always managing minutes depending on the score and the type of game that it's going. But, we'll be cognizant of the fact that these guys haven't been on the ice for a while. And as far as some symmetry, we haven't had them for a while. So we've been, we've gone all that last trip, the Anaheim, LA, Seattle trip without Brock. And then I think, Dickie didn't play the last game and we haven't had PD all week. So it's, the lines have been switched around a bit, but they'll all adjust. They always have. So I assume they will again.
I don't know if you have any other questions, but I'm not seeing any of their hands raised here. Yep, go ahead.
Hey, Bruce, I just want to talk a little bit about the opposition tomorrow night. You probably know Florida from another movie, but Huberto is on a crazy streak of I think, 13 points in his last five games. He put up a five spot against Tampa last week, and they're the second highest scoring team in the league. Obviously, attention to detail is a well-worn phrase, but what about the Panthers? What do you have to guard against tomorrow night, Bruce?
Well, they can throw four lines at you that can all score, and they have superstars. And the line of Barkov and Huberto and Duclair, they can all fly, and their defense are jumping up with the play. If you look at the number of points some of these defensemen have had, It's crazy. And you just got to be leery that, you know, we can't get into a track meet with these guys. They want the track meet. They want to trade chance for chance. And that's hopefully not the way that we're going to play or the way we anticipate playing anyway. But we'll see. I mean, we haven't, since I've been here, we haven't met a team like Florida yet. And it's going to be an interesting litmus test to see what our guys are made of, especially after coming, you know, not playing for 10 days. So it's it'll be an interesting game.
We do have one more question now from Jay Janower, Global BC.
Bruce, good afternoon. I'm wondering, have the guys told you how they feel when they come back from their latest bout with COVID in terms of conditioning? I mean, I know Brock's been out a little bit longer because of his situation, but, you know, thankfully Petey wasn't out that much. What are you hearing from the guys, or maybe even what are you seeing when they step back on the ice?
Well, there's not a player alive that won't say, hey, I feel great, coach, put me in. So, I mean, you got to look at it and from your perspective and say that you've been off for 7 days. They're not obviously going to be as game ready as if they were playing and practicing every day. So, I mean, that's, it doesn't really matter what they say. That's going to be the eye test. But these guys, all three of them worked really hard today. And I think they'll be ready for tomorrow mentally. We'll see, you know, what I tell them, you go as hard as you can for as long as you can and see where it goes. So I'm sure their shifts will be a little shorter than normal, but, you know, I mean, it's not like they didn't do anything. This is how they played minor hockey. They'd practice once a week and play a game on the weekend. So it's back to that for some of them.
Give me your sense of what you see from the guys. I mean, Oliver Ekman-Larsson on Saturday told us that they couldn't wait to get off the ice and hop on the plane to get out to Florida and play a hockey game. I know you wanted the practice time. We've talked about that a lot, but do you sense that these guys are just chomping at the bit to really make something on this road trip?
Well, I mean, I think they're really chomping at the bit to play the game. I mean, they know like who our opposition is in the next five games and this next seven games. And I mean, you're playing the best of the best in the NHL right now. So it's a test to see where you're at. And hopefully by this time next week that we'll have figured out that we passed the test and can't wait to get home and play some games, because I think this will make after this, these five games would be like 8 or 9 in a row on the road. And if we can come away ahead of that, then we'll be happy with it.
We have two more lined up now. We'll go to Kevin Woodley, NHL.com.
Hey, Bruce, just curious if there was any update. You weren't sure on the weekend about Travis Hamonic and whether he would travel. And do you have any idea when the other guys who are still in protocol might join you?
I mean, Chiasson is the only guy that's in protocol right now, I think. And he's supposed to maybe by the end of the week join us. Hamonic isn't on the trip, and I don't have an update as to when he's potentially going to be on the trip. I was hoping he'd be on this trip, but he's not. So we'll just go without him.
And sorry, just to follow up, DiGiuseppe and Dowling, wanted to make sure.
Yeah, they're not here yet. I mean, I think they're supposed to be here by the end of the week, but again, the Canadian rules are different from American rules, so we'll see how that works out.
Thanks, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Up is Thomas Drant, The Athletic.
Bruce, you talked about this being a stretch against the best of the best, and really for a long time, this trip has been sort of circled as a key kind of proving ground for this club. I know Jim Rutherford even mentioned it in his introductory press conference. Do you need to evaluate this team with a little bit more context than normal because of the layoff, because of the three in the last 25, in your view?
I mean, if you want to make excuses, if you don't succeed, yeah. But I mean, we are putting on the value that we're playing a game against these guys, and it doesn't matter if we had a week or 2 weeks or 5 weeks off. We've got to be ready. That's what hard practices were for, is to be ready. Now, it's not the same as games, and it's not like you're playing against your friends. You're playing against guys that want to beat you. So but it's still a test of us against them, and we'll see where we stand at the end of this week.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yep.
And we'll take one last question from Rob Simpson, Vancouver Hockey Now.
Hey, Gabby, just one on the practice today. Was it a little more generic since you're just a game away from playing an actual hockey game? What were you trying to accomplish and, you know, get the legs going for the guys back?
Normally, you'd think it'd be a little generic, but I mean, A, we had new line combinations and we worked on the power play a lot. And the fact that we were in a plane for 8 hours yesterday sort of meant we really had to get our skating legs back because it was a tough trip. And so, I mean, we pushed it a little harder than we normally would. It was a solid 45 minutes with a little skating with some of them at the end to make it to about 50 minutes long. So normally this would have been a day before a stretch that we're going into would have been a quick 30 minute, just get everything stretched out and get the juices flowing a little bit, but there was a little more something to this practice than just that.
That's Bruce Boudreau when he met with media earlier today. A couple interesting things there, Randy, but certainly they are excited just to get back playing here.
Yeah, Bruce is all business right now. You could tell he's kind of getting into that mindset of, all right, back to business, not getting any excuses ready there. You know, even, there are potential outs here. We're talking about moral victories and being, you know, out of the game for a while now. They're going to take the first 5, 10, 20 minutes to get up to speed. And Bruce Boudreau saying, yeah, if you're looking for excuses, they're all there, but we're not thinking that way. It's exactly what you want to hear from the coach heading into this trip.
Bick Nizar, Randy Janda here on The People's Show. Don't at me, coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to connect with Keegan Mitchell in just a second here. He's a junior hockey player in PEI who, in the middle of December, there was a game, junior B game in PEI, and his team, the Sherwood Metros, were playing the Vipers, and a racist incident occurred during the game. A slur was said by a member of the Vipers towards one of Keegan's teammates, and Keegan rightfully stepped up and tried to make a point of it, and later on in the game also, you know, confronted the player and slashed him, which earned a 2-game suspension. But, you know, the offending player on the other team also got a 2-game suspension. And earlier this month, you know, Keegan criticized the response from the hockey PEI. And, you know, this has become a big story. We wanted to reach out to Keegan to bring him on to the show here. We'll get into more of the whole incident and everything. But first, Keegan Mitchell joins us now. Again, a Sherwood Metros player. Keegan, thanks for a lot for joining us. How are you today?
No problem, and good. How are you?
We're doing really well. We want to start this whole thing off because, you know, I think when we have these conversations about, you know, where we are with, you know, hockey culture and racism and culture, one thing that, you know, we often forget, and, you know, it requires people to step up in the moment. And you were there, hey, in the middle of December, and you did what I think a lot of people aspire to do or want to do, and you stepped up and you spoke up. What motivated you to do so?
I guess what motivated me is just kind of really knowing how much it hurts people like that. There's been lots of incidences like that. And I don't know, just for me, just speaking out has always been the thing I like to do. And it's just, there was no question that I kind of had to do that in my mind.
Well, you know, amazing job on you to do that, not only in the moment, but I think later on as well with those posts, and we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, when you were on the ice and the immediate reaction you saw from officials, what did you see and, you know, what was your response or what was your initial reaction to some of the responses that maybe the officials gave in that moment?
Yeah, so, like, it was said and kind of brought to my attention on the bench. And from there, our coach kind of told the ref and he took it over to the other bench and they said whatever they had to say over there. Right from when I heard about it, I kind of got mad. I just, like, that's a player I am. I like to stick up for my teammates. So I felt like I had to do that either way. And then kind of the next whistle, I noticed the ref back over there and back by their bench and just laughing. And I'm not sure what they're laughing about, but it just kind of made me even more mad because it was a situation that there shouldn't have been any more laughing about anything, no matter what it was about. And so that just kind of drove me to want to do something even more. Just like felt like everybody was against us in this. And so I went out there and I took a slashing penalty on the guy, and like, I have no regrets for it. It in the moment, that's how I had to send the message. And that's just what I did there.
I was just going to ask about that whole slashing incident itself. So you felt a need to, hey, if it wasn't going to get confronted by the officials, did you feel the need to try to confront the person then?
Yeah, I think even if it was kind of confronted in a proper way by the officials and say the guy was kicked out, I think no matter what, in that game with someone on their team, the message would have been sent either way. I think hockey's a lot like that. It doesn't have to be the exact person for yourself to send the message to the other team that, you know, we're not taking any of that.
Well, you were suspended 2 games for that slash, and the individual, the other player that made the comments, the racial slurs, was also suspended 2 games. And you outlined in your January 5th post that how you didn't agree and you wanted to take that stand. What kind of response did you get from Hockey PEI after that post and outlining how you were not in agreement with the suspension that was given to that individual specifically?
Well, yeah, I called out just kind of how I thought that the racist slur was absolutely not at all equivalent to a slashing penalty in regards to the suspension. And I guess what I want to send a message is that, like, that shouldn't be equivalent in any scenario. So I made that post attacking kind of Hockey PEI and their choice, but like I never heard anything like personally from them. Like the letter, my suspension was told to me through my team, first for the 2-game suspension for slashing, and then the letter for the indefinite suspension was also kind of sent through my team. So in a way, I thought that maybe on a more serious case like this and kind of what it's all about, that I might get the message like directly to me, but I don't know. It might just be the way they do things. And I don't know, just kind of what I thought about it.
What's the general reaction been? Obviously this is, you know, the story has gotten bigger. You're talking to us here from Vancouver, but what reaction have you noticed as far as people reaching out and people trying to connect with you?
Well, I definitely received a lot of support from all sorts of people from all different places. I've heard from people from the States and I guess you guys too in Vancouver. So it's crazy to see how far this story is kind of gone. I'm glad it happened. It's going to only bring more awareness to this sort of scenario. And hopefully in the near future, there's not going to be any kind of, there's going to be no room for it anymore. It's just, I hope it's not going to be a thing ever that we have to deal with anymore. And if what I'm doing is going to contribute to that, I'm going to keep doing that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about, hopefully there comes a day where hockey is truly for everyone and everybody is embraced in the game and things are dealt with properly when issues like this, use of racial slurs or racism in the game is, you know, happening, that it's addressed properly. But I've had a chance to chat with hockey players across the country, young players at that, and they deal with racism and they deal with, you know, issues like this all the time. You've lived through it. You've gone through it. What is your message to that kid that's going to the rink, maybe a friend of somebody that's been racially abused, or, you know, is somebody that wants to be an ally? What's your message to them?
I guess just really be educated on kind of how it makes the victims feel. Like, I've firsthand understood how it felt. I mean, I don't know how it feels myself, but I've heard through my teammate how it makes him feel, and listening to him kind of tell me how he feels it, I definitely feel for him, and it gives me more of a reason to want to stand up for everybody else and kind of for this sort of thing. So I guess my message would just be stand up for what you believe in and always protect your teammates, or it doesn't even have to be someone, you know, anybody in public, any of that sort of thing. There's no room for this in the game of hockey or in life at all. So any chance you get to stand up to it, definitely do that.
Hey, Keegan, so what are the next steps here for you as you wait for this process out? You know, what's next for your hockey playing here?
Yeah, so at the moment, I haven't heard anything else about my indefinite suspension or the kind of Kensington Vipers seeking legal counsel. But for either of those things, I haven't heard much else. I'm just kind of letting things play out from now. And if there's anything I can do about the indefinite suspension, I'm gonna try and fight it for sure.
What would you like to see happen moving forward here?
I guess I'd definitely like to see myself back on the ice and playing the game that I love. But right now, just keep doing what I'm doing. But yeah, I definitely would like to go back on the ice here soon.
Well, Keegan, you know, I think what you did, and I think the important bit here is, you know, the reason we want to talk to you is because, you know, for people that do what you do, standing up to racism, especially on the ice, which we know is can be difficult, you deserve a lot of credit, and people like you should be made into celebrities. So thanks a lot, and thanks a lot for giving us some time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, that is Keegan Mitchell, Junior B player out of PEI, which, again, it's a difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. And I know the HDA just came up with this this new campaign here, Tape Up the Hate, and it's a great campaign. And what you need is people like that to step up in key moments. And, you know, we spend so much time talking about the incidents themselves, the way this has unfolded. And I know Red just texted me in here, what was the indefinite suspension for? It was about him calling out the whole process. He got a 2-game penalty or a 2-game suspension. Also, the offending player who said the slur got the same penalty, 2 games. And that doesn't feel just to anyone. And the way it was handled, and he's taken full credit of, hey, should I have slashed and all that sort of stuff. He's taken full credit for that, but he's serving suspension, but it's grown into an indefinite suspension.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think we get trapped in this conversation of, hey, hockey culture and all this sort of stuff. It can be bad and all this sort of stuff. But, like, here's a kid who plays hockey, and he did the right thing. And that's also a commendable part of hockey culture, too. And it deserves to get recognized. And people that do stand up deserve to get recognized just as much.
Absolutely. And I know we've gotten texts saying, hey, you know, the slash and the physical aggression there and the violence is not something we should condone. I'm not condoning that. But what I am saying is the post and the response that Keegan Mitchell had, even off the ice, that's important. Getting that message out there and standing up for his teammate, at least, you know, even on to highlight this on the ice, to observe what was going on at the benches, and not only addressing it with the player and bringing it up to the officials and his coach, but also the response of opposing coaches and referees matter in this situation. If you've ever been in that situation where figures of authority, maybe they don't address an issue and something serious like racism, of course you have, you know, you have less belief in the system. So I understand what folks are saying when, you know, you gotta, you know, be careful with the violence. And I get that. You don't want to, you know, give a thumbs up to violence in that regard and condone it. But he also, in the moment, brought it up with the figures of the authority. And Vic, to your question, that was if the authority figures don't act, then the player, and we talk about this with grown men playing in the NHL, if something goes on the ice unanswered, they think about acting out. Well, a kid who's 20 years old is probably going to head in that direction as well. So to me, I think it's, let's give this kid props for highlighting this after the game and saying, where is the justice in this? I got a 2-game suspension for a slash, which is justified. He agrees with, but somebody was racially abused on the ice, and the individual that was the abuser in this case got 2 games. How is that just?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you, Keegan, for the time. And it was actually going to be the subject of my don't at me anyways. So okay. We'll get into it right now. We'll do this every day at 3:20 here. Don't at me. We'll actually play the intro first here, JMO. We'll do it afterwards here.
Your takes uninterrupted. Don't at me. Text in your submissions to 650-650.
Don't at me. I said, what is that?
It's brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease with ease, confidence, and LeaseBusters, the leasing specialist to guide you through the journey. Go to leasebusters.com to start the process today. Don't at me. We should also celebrate the heroes that stand up rather than focusing on the incidents themselves. So big thank you to Keegan for spending some time here with us detailing what happened there.
Shining a light on, you know, incidents that happen in the communities across the country on numerous occasions. But, you know, him going out and writing that post, Bick, I'm with you 100%.
650-650 if you want to send us yours.
I got one.
In as well. Go ahead. Yes.
All right. We're talking a lot about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air today. Don't at me, but the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is the best sitcom ever. I am going to put that out there. I don't care what people think about Seinfeld. Fresh Prince for me, growing up, watching it, comparing it to its peers and other generations, that's what I'm saying.
Of all time.
Of all time. It just hit the right notes with me. It did.
Maybe you just, like, never grew up then, too.
Is that not a show that still, like, today is... If you watch it today, it still resonates.
It still holds up. I still think there's a nostalgia component hitting you up, though. But nevertheless...
Don't at me.
Hey, it's don't at me. 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Three's Company is getting disrespected. That's great.
I got love for Three's Company, but
yeah,
it's not GOAT status in my opinion.
Don't at me, Rager. If Sam Reinhart gets a goalie prospect and a first rounder to trade, then JT Miller trade would get a much bigger return before the deadline.
Okay, Rager's on this JT Miller thing today. He's all in.
I guess he just wants to see Trader Jim in action, man. We're all waiting.
That's, hey man, like it's coming at some point. I don't think it's coming that soon though, guys. I don't think it's coming this year. I think it's off season, Trader Jim.
Like peak Trader Jim, yeah.
We got this from Reg. Don't at me. PEI Hockey Commission needs to be put on notice for suspending a kid or calling them up for calling them out. Yeah, there is an element of how dare you call us out with that indefinite suspension. There's an authoritative element there for sure.
There's some softness to this being the response to all of this. 650-650. Man, you've gotten people fired up over the best sitcom. Cheers is the GOAT, hands down. Matt North fan says that kid should be winning a leadership award for taking a stand. Complete joke. He was suspended indefinitely. Don't at me. That is Matt in North Van.
We got this one from Marcus and Gibson's. Don't at me. Golden Girls is the best show you've never watched. I've actually watched some episodes. That show is awesome, man.
It's pretty good.
It's a good show.
Good. Hey, man. Thank you for being a friend. 100%. Don't at me. Hockey Hug says, don't at me. Trader Jim won't make an appearance until the offseason.
I agree.
All right.
He's assessing right now. I don't think it's going to, like, he'll make some moves at the deadline, maybe a Tyler Mott type of deal. But, like, if you're looking for a home run, I don't think he does it till the offseason.
The real problem is the other people that come into the organization, are they going to have enough time to be able to assess? Right?
That's fair.
I think that's enough time for Jim to say, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking, X, Y, and Z. But is that enough of a job done consensus to say, hey, I'm going to make this unilateral move without any consultation from everyone? That's the bit to me that's tough to live up to, of Jim Rutherford saying he wants collaborative process. And then, hey, you've been here for 2 weeks. We're making wholesale changes. And out goes a JT Miller or a Bo Horvat or a Brock Besser. It's just, if you want to have that consultation process with everyone that you bring into the organization, you have to provide them with the opportunity to have their own evaluation process as well.
Yeah, you're not going to shake up the world and say, all right, now you can do your job. No, you're probably going to say, hey, let's do this collaborative, and then you make a potentially a bold move if and when that comes.
Final one to you, 650-650. You want to pick one out here?
All right, we got a few others coming in here.
A lot good.
A lot of the sitcoms. What have I started? Reg coming in with Don't At Me, Married with Children is the best sitcom of all time. Al Bundy. Shouts to my dad, though. He loves that show. He'll still watch it on the old sitcom network, whatever it's classic.
Oh, yeah.
I think my dad agrees with that take.
that show still has a time and place for a lot of people. A lot of people. 650, 650, keep your thoughts coming in. I'll get to a couple of more don't at me's on the other side. Brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease with ease, confidence, and a LeaseBusters leasing specialist to guide you through the journey. Go to leasebusters.com to start the process today. On the way, more of the conversation, and we want to talk about some highlights from last night. The Ja Morant block. Not even the Ja Morant alley-oop or just Ja Morant in general. The block. It was unbelievable. What a highlight. And some underwatched players across North America. We'll get into it more on the People Show. Home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is the People Show with Bick Nizar and Randy Janda.
Welcome back to the show. Final segment on the People Show. Bick Nizar, Randy Janda, Jamie Dodd alongside with us from the Canucks Hour with Thomas Drance. Go subscribe to the podcasts, all of them. People Show, Canucks Hour, Canucks Central, and Halford and Brough. Wherever you get your podcasts, drop a 5-star review as well. Appreciate all the comments coming into the 650, 650 Dunbar Lumber text message inbox with our interview there with Keegan Mitchell. A lot of good support for Keegan coming into our inbox, so appreciate your thoughts. And yeah, I don't know, I thought it was an interesting story, and you know, we have these conversations all the time, Randy, about you know, hockey culture, and I feel like, you know, I love the sport, obviously, and these are important conversations to have, and sometimes they get a bit one-sided, and here's another ugly incident. But to me, like, the story here is someone standing up to do a fantastic thing, and look, I don't always know what my role in solving this issue is, but the phrase I like to use is, you know, we have to focus on kind of beating the thing.
Yep.
And I thought, here's someone that's doing the right thing and is getting penalized for it. And, you know, whatever our role is in this, if we can have a helping hand and trying to help everyone kind of beat the thing, I think someone like Keegan deserves to get made a celebrity or his profile or just rewarded for doing the right thing. And it feels like everything is working against him right now. And if we can do our little part of helping people get rewarded for doing the right thing, maybe the next person wants to do it too.
Totally. And awareness is important. Campaigns highlighting that awareness is important, but so is action. And here's an individual in PEI that did take an action, that did speak out on this regard. And we should shine that light, because when we talk about taking a stand for something, and, you know, with Keegan as well, he was not the one that was racially abused. It was his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
But he leaned in and said, this is not right. This is something I have to support my teammate with on the ice, however you feel about that, but definitely off the ice and sending a message and making a statement after the fact to say, this did not affect me, but I am disappointed in the way you dealt with it. I am angered at the way you dealt with it. And taking a stand, that's important. That is something that is so important when we talk about awareness is one thing, but action is important as well. Keegan took that action, and I think we should salute him, and we should, if we have an opportunity. We're lucky enough to host a radio show, and, you know, you can download the podcast wherever you are. If we have that opportunity to shine that light, I'm glad we did.
Oh, for sure. And yeah, it just, you mentioned there, like, this is someone that wasn't the victim of the abuse, but recognized a wrong and stepped up in a big way. And deserves to get all the praise for it. So big shout-out to all the people texting in as well, and big shout-out to Keegan Mitchell as well. Bick Nizar, Randy Janda, Jamie Dodd with us, Justin Morissette running the show. Yesterday, it was the clip that, if there wasn't like the crazy Chargers-Raiders game that happened late last night, I think it would have been the clip that dominated sports last night. It was Ja Morant, the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Lakers, and it's just, you know, loses the ball. It's a routine fast break layup, and a layup attempt was made. And Ja Morant skied the air as if he was Superman and plucked the ball out of midair, two hands. And, you know, we've seen two-handed blocks happen before. But the elevation this guy got on this layup, that was not like, hey, your warm-up practice layup of just putting in it off the glass. It was a bit of a floater because it was a contested layup. So it's high up the glass. It's above the square. And Ja Morant leaps, all of 6'3", 6'2", leaps and two hands it off the board. It was one of the more astonishing, pure athletic plays we are going to see in sports this year. I'm blown away by what that guy did on that particular play. Just what a highlight for that. And, you know, he is getting so much praise here recently that for a player that plays in Memphis, it almost goes under-noticed at times what he is capable of.
Totally it does. And, you know, you look at that play last night. I think the first time anybody saw it, you're like, no way. Okay, who altered with this video? If you weren't watching that game live, you're just like, all right, something's been done here. Somebody's edited something. Just a superhuman play from a guy that, you know, that has a bit of a spotlight in the league. He's a MVP candidate. That's how good he has been. Not his play, but like in terms of, is he a player that we try to watch every single game? I think for hardcore basketball fans and people that watch the league, absolutely. But I think he is a player that I'd love to watch a lot more of. And you'll watch that play, you're saying, man, that's like Ovechkin scoring against the Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Coyotes level of just like, wow, I can watch this 100 times and still be marveling at that skill or the effort or just the athleticism. Like, that's what I equate it to. That's how highly I think of it, is that Ovechkin goal. Like, Ja Morant's play last night, to me, is almost one and the same, where I'm still scratching my head.
I'm flummoxed even now. I'm just kind of rewatching it here. So many components have to go into this for you to get that right. A, you had to time it perfectly, right? That's a difficult part of making a block, is timing the trajectory of the ball and how you lift up to go get it. And then to actually make contact. Just to provide context, above the square is 11'6". He is 6'3". And he makes up that deficit by just pure athleticism. Just, I'm going to be Ja freaking Morant, and I'm going to go track this ball down. And it is stunning.
And what he's a point guard, no less.
Yes.
Right? Like, he's listed at 6'3", so he's probably 6'2". Getting up and pinning that ball with two hands, if you're a center, like, if you're 6'10", that's an impressive play, right? Like, you're still showing off your hops and your timing. He's 6'3". He's a point guard, and he's up making plays like that way above the rim on the fly in the game. It's one of the most athletic NBA plays I can recall, and that's a high bar. The NBA is that's one of the major selling points of the league, is that the athleticism on display night in, night out is just off the charts. And Ja Morant, he still stands out in that setting. That play last night still stands out in that setting.
You know what stood out to me when I saw the replay like 9 times? I just automatically thought of the Chappelle, "Where's Ja?" Like, it's like he comes out of nowhere. That's the audio that popped into my head. But we do have this this question popping up on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Is that block better than LeBron's in the final against the Warriors? For me, it is, because I love that block. It was an unbelievable play. And given the circumstances of being in the finals, you're going to lean that one because it's the finals. But pure athleticism, I give it to this one, man.
Better.
This is better.
If we're just judging blocks, like, forget the context, right? This is a Sunday in January, albeit against the Lakers. Like, that's fantastic. But if we're just judging the blocks, this one's better.
It's a more athletic play.
Yes.
I would say the LeBron play is better because of the context, and also the way LeBron, if you go back and watch that block, which is one of my favorite plays of all time, the way he hunts it the whole court and times it perfectly within like half an inch of it being a goaltend. So I still give the nod, just in terms of better basketball play, to LeBron. In terms of sheer athleticism, this one takes it, no question.
The LeBron one is like, he tracks that down like he's like a velociraptor in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
yeah.
He spots it from so far away, and he's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run half court, but you should be watching me. Don't watch the fast break. Even the pass, like, he anticipates the pass. And it's like, yeah, I know I have to go track down Iggy. Don't Don't worry about this, guys.
Well, even with this one, like, he gives away the ball first, right? So it kind of reminds me of it. It's not the same way he's hunting it down with, like, LeBron does in the finals, but it does remind me of that Michael Jordan versus the Wizards. Or, sorry, when he was playing with the Wizards. It's essentially that block, because Jordan did give away the ball in that play, but it's like the levitation is way, way, way more. So it's essentially a player saying, man, I gave up the ball. I got to get back. And so he's got that hunger in his game as well, which I'm leaning with this one. I love LeBron's, but to me, just how high he gets, you can't replicate that, man.
The context probably wins it for LeBron, but if I'm just judging the blocks themselves, I'm probably taking the John Morant one. It wasn't the only thing that happened in the NBA last night. Klay Thompson, back in it. 941 days since Klay Thompson last played a game. Like, that is long enough to slip out of the social conscience, considering how fast the NBA moves and everything like that. Klay Thompson gets back, does it in style, too. Drops 17, emphatically throws down a dunk. He just must have been running on pure adrenaline last night. That was unbelievable. But it did strike me of, as like, he is a player that is, like, universally loved. Like, there was nobody that wasn't rooting for Klay Thompson yesterday. Yeah, unless you're playing against the Warriors, that's really about it. Everyone was just rooting for this guy. He's done so many things, like, so many good things, and then here's a player who constantly had to work back and from injuries. It's been so long, and he was just kind of universally loved. And, you know, we were kind of comparing the two guys in our pre-show meeting, Ja Morant and Klay Thompson. Everyone just stumps for these guys. They love watching them. We want to kind of compare that to the NHL. Who are kind of like the underwatched players that are, you know, don't get enough shine and are, you know, superstar level players?
Yeah, the Canucks are going to see my submission for this in a couple of games here. Sebastian Aho. You know, he's a player that...
Oh, let's go. Yeah, okay.
You know, he's a you know, an 80-point player. He's a guy that plays down the middle. He is somebody that plays at the high end. But Carolina, how many Carolina games are we watching other than when they play the Canucks? Not many. We should be watching more, but they're not in prime time. They're not on the Saturday nights. Sebastian Aho and his complete game with his offensive, you know, output, he's a player that I wish we could actually watch more. And you know, we have NHL Live and Sportsnet Now and all of that, which we can, but you just don't see him on the conventional broadcast, which is something that I look at his game and say, if he played an East Coast market or a Canadian market, we'd be having Hart Trophy conversations a lot more about this guy, especially as he gets better, because he is getting better.
You don't need to convince me to watch more Finnish hockey players, man.
Yeah, if you were going to be a dual citizen in any country, it'd probably be Finland, man. I'm starting to realize this about you, Bick.
A chance to, you know, go to England to watch Manchester United whenever I want, or go to Finland and you know, hang out with my guy Sebastian Aho, Rupe Hintz, and Alex Barkov.
I see it already, Helsinki Bick. Just that's gonna be a parody account popping up here in a little bit.
Helsinki Bick, yeah, man. I just a simp for Finnish hockey. I think they're doing great stuff, man.
You got to get your Nokia flip phone back. Classic Finnish brand.
There's got to be Snake on
Wait.
There.
Nokia's Finnish?
Yes. I believe so, yes.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, I had no idea.
So there you go.
Oh, dude, this changes everything. My mind, my brain is wrinkling live on the air here. That's incredible.
No, Nokia Corporation is a Finnish multinational communications giant. Their headquarters are in Espoo, Finland.
Who did I see the other day still has a Nokia phone? Man, there was a high-profile player that said he still had a Nokia.
Oh, good for him.
Oh,
Snake was an elite game.
It was Panarin. Panarin said he's not in any group chats anymore because he has a Nokia.
That's unbelievable. That's awesome.
The Rangers tweeted that out, man. Breadman was asked if the boys knew he was coming to LA. He said he doesn't know because he has a Nokia, so he's not in the group chat anymore.
The man is making $12.5 million every year, and he's loyal to his brand. I like it.
I'm going to go with a Dallas star here that isn't Rupe Hintz.
Okay.
But it's Jason Robertson. If you're not watching this guy right now, his point streak just keeps extending. Last season, he was unbelievable. Didn't win Rookie of the Year, obviously. And what he's doing so far this year as far as dominating, once again, he's got 30 points in 26 games. But just the way he – like, if you watched yesterday, you know, him finishing around the net – He is so slick in and around the net. He just knows how to pop into the slot or the like right in front of the crease when there's all this net front scramble. He is such a good finisher in and around the net.
Oh, totally. And he's one to watch on the earliest part of his career. It's still going. He's still developing. On that same team, I got another submission that, you know, over the years watching Joe Pavelski, I am a huge fan of the way he plays off the puck too. Like the way he just spaces out everything on the offensive side of things. So I would even throw Joe Pavelski's name in. I know he's near the end of his career. I just love watching that guy, whether he's on San Jose or Dallas. I know he gets love, but he doesn't get like star love. He gets love of, oh, he's a complimentary piece. He's a captain. But in terms of what he does on the ice, same thing. He's got 30 points in 32 games as well. And this guy's near the end of his career, Bick.
I definitely used to be confused why Joe Pavelski was so good. And then as you just like watch him more and more and more, you're like, oh my God, this guy is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Okay. Absolutely. You got, you know, you're a football guy as well. You got anybody in the NFL that you're like, needs more love?
Oh, wow. Off the radar guys. I don't know. Rashard Penny. He just keeps crushing, man.
Ooh, 62 yard crushing. Runs. All right. All right. Wow. He was off the radar for the first three quarters of the season. Definitely. Oh, I can agree with that.
No, off the radar guys. You know, the NFL is so different though, because like so much attention gets put to every single team, right? Like, especially because of fantasy, like you're hard pressed to find under the radar skill position players anymore, right?
Okay, I don't think Terry McLaurin gets the love he deserves, though. Part of that is because he plays on a team that has had quarterback issues.
Yeah, but he still gets
issues.
Recognized as he like does. One of the best receivers.
Yeah, I guess like if I'm trying to find a Sebastian Aho or Ja Morant comparison, if that's out there, I would say McLaurin because his situation and also that Washington is not good. It kind of diminishes his shine, kind of.
All right, I'll pick someone out. It's from the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's a defensive lineman.
All right.
So I'm going, like, super unsexy here. But it's Trey Hendrickson. If you're making me choose someone that's underappreciated across the NFL, I will go with Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, he was crushing it in New Orleans for a couple of seasons here. I think he put up double-digit sacks 2 years ago or last year. Yeah, it was last year, 13 and a half sacks. He had 14 this year. The least talked about kind of strong defensive lineman is Trey Hendrickson. But that, again, it's not really a sexy position.
No, it isn't. But that's part of the conversation here where it's like, you know, the NFL that's is fair. Different. The NFL is different. But
yeah.
I think last night, if you're a casual basketball fan or if you're somebody that didn't really care about basketball, you go away from that Lakers-Grizzlies game and you're like, all right, I'm going to make a bigger effort to maybe watch more Ja Morant. That's the impact that play had yesterday. And that's where I think, you know, a casual is like, all right, Morant, he's on the radar now if he wasn't before.
And the block was like the highlight of the game. He had an alley-oop in that game mm-hmm. that was also incredible. That just suddenly nobody cared about because everyone was freeze-framing, screenshotting, multiple angles of the block. It was just unbelievable. A couple of thoughts coming in here. Barkov and Huberto for Mavi as far as under-discussed superstars in the league. Darren Waller from Rager as far as superstars we don't talk enough about in the NFL. A lot of good texts. A lot of good texts all throughout the course of the show. Thank you for your interaction all throughout the course of the People's Show. Find us on Spotify. Find us on Apple. Subscribe and also share your thoughts, as always, with your 5-star reviews only. We make way for the People's Show. Satyar Shah, Dan Riccio on the way here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.